Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And good afternoon, Thursday edition of the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070. WKOK, Sean Carey here. Steve Jones will be there in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Lots of ways to get in contact with us. Our email is stevejones@wkok.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle at stevejonespsu. Website, stevejonesshow.com. You can access 3 months of shows there. Also, you can subscribe to our free podcast. We're on iTunes, the Apple Podcast app, and Google Play. Just search Steve Jones Show, hit subscribe, and once our shows are live on WKOK, we can drop them right to your smartphone and tablet so you can listen to them anytime, anywhere. Glad you were with us today. Got a great show on tap. Be our last one of the week since tomorrow. We have Phillies baseball. The Grapefruit and Cactus Leagues will start their games tomorrow, including the Phillies in Tampa Bay. And first pitch will be at 1:05. Be great to hear Scott Fransky in L.A. back on WKOK tomorrow afternoon. We will be talking baseball a little later on this hour. Wow, it's been a little over a year since we've had Scott Miller on the show. Scott is the Major League Baseball columnist for Bleacher Report, so he is scheduled to join us in less than a half an hour. He is currently in Florida following the Grapefruit League teams. Also, we will have Mark Brennan from FightOnState.com. Talk some Penn State football with Mark. Coming up next hour, get his perspective on the Nittany Lions over the past couple of months. Mark has been all over the Penn State football scene for years, and of course, specifically here the last 2-3 months prior to the bowl game with the National Letter of Intent players and so much more. So it'd be great to have Mark on the show. And after his 1 week hiatus, the most interesting man in New England scheduled to join us to wrap up the week at 4:35.
Yes, a relief. Actually, there was one other time I saw a guy blow out his shoe. It was DJ Newbill.
Yeah, after that happened to Zion Williamson last night, I automatically texted you just with the body of work that you've actually seen in person. I was just wondering,
DJ Newbill.
Wow.
Newbill did it. Yep. So it is not foreign territory.
During a regular game?
Yeah, it was during a game.
Home game?
Yep. Yes.
Wow. Although pretty safe to say he was probably not wearing size 15s, like Zion was last night.
Could have been.
Or were they?
I don't know what... It's an interesting question. I don't know what size shoe he wore. But, yeah, he blew it out, though. Yeah. That's the one I could remember was DJ Newbill doing it.
Well, that took the air out of that game last night, though. I just didn't feel as compelled to watch it after that. But knowing that there's still great players on that Duke team that are going to go in the top five in June.
But this goes back to what I talked about when Trey Jones got hurt. Remember, they lost that game to Syracuse where Trey Jones got hurt. So what did I say the next day on the show? I said, you know, it's apparent to me is that Duke is a very talented team, but not a deep team. Well, I think last night we saw that Duke is a talented team, but again, not a deep team. They lost Trey Jones, couldn't beat Syracuse. They lost Zion Williamson, couldn't beat North Carolina. Ironically, both games at home. And that's, Now, for Mike Krzyzewski, I mean, that drives it home even further. When they've got everybody, they're really good, like they were when they played Virginia twice. They had everybody. But games where they've been missing a part, they have not been able to compensate for missing a part. And that's disconcerting for them. Now, what's interesting about the Zion Williamson thing is going to be this, moving forward. Duke will tell us how long they think he'll be out and what is their plan for moving forward. What's to keep Zion Williamson or his family from saying, it doesn't matter about the timetable, he's out. We're going to wait for the draft. What's to keep them from doing that, Sean?
The funny part, I thought of that this morning, and the first person I thought of was Nick Bosa.
Yeah, Nick Bosa got hurt and told everybody at Ohio State, adios. I am gone.
Can you imagine if a basketball player would have done that like earlier this decade?
Well, in some ways, remember when Kyrie Irving got hurt his senior year? Or, I'm sorry, his freshman year? He never came back. He never came back. Now, I'm not saying that he couldn't have that he may not have been able to, but I'm saying he did not come back from his injury. Never made it back. I always found that to be interesting, Sean. Because I was thinking about that. I said, well, has anybody done this where they got... And I thought of Nick Bosa, obviously, but I kept thinking of college basketball. And he was the one I thought of. Remember, Ben Simmons was not exactly enamored with...
continuing to play in college.
Yeah.
Yeah, those guys definitely did not make front page headlines like let's say Christian McCaffrey did a couple seasons ago when he decided to forego the bowl game.
And Leonard Fournette.
And Leonard Fournette.
Now you think about Saquon Barkley. He played. Now, I'll never forget the fact that he played. You know, you got people who do things for the love of the game. But money is playing such a gigantic role in everything that happens now. I mean, the only reason you do this show is because of the big cash you get. But, I mean, you know.
Nope, secret's out. So, I guess Zion made a commitment to Coach K. I want to play, so it'll be interesting to, as this goes forward, his mindset compared to Zion's parents. Maybe they'll be thinking of something else. Future plan.
I am just saying, okay, if I were to guess, because I do not know these people at all. I do not know these people at all. My guess is that he'll be out whatever game, he'll come back and play. Okay? I mean, so I want to at least establish that my gut feeling is that he'll play. I'm just saying that it also is not out of the realm of possibility that somebody looks at him and says, no, we're not going to do this. We're going to wait for the draft. I'm just throwing it out there as a nugget. What is to keep them from saying, look, I know you want to play, but now he also does have an $8 million policy. I don't think a lot of people realize that. We have the same thing on the Shikalimi broadcaster. I think it's like $8 million. It's like, you know, he gets a sore throat.
Lloyd's of London. Solid.
No. It's actually a loan shark.
a Montour County loan shark.
Yes, pretty much, yes.
Buhner's on line one. We'll sift through that.
But you know, but the Williamson thing obviously has reignited the, oh, you know, they're not getting paid. They're making all this money off. And look what happened. You get hurt. You're going to use it. We are constantly looking at what the rules should be for the 1% when the 99% are benefiting. There are a lot of Duke basketball players, by the way, that when they're done at Duke, will be done at Duke. I mean, you saw, I mean, Jack White might play overseas, okay? The only NBA he's going to go to is if he's the guest of Zion Williamson. O'Connell, maybe he'll play in Europe, maybe. But he's not, you know, but he's never going to play in the NBA, the G League, or any kind of league, okay? I mean, those guys aren't going to be playing. So they talk about Duke's lack of depth. Bolden's a G League guy. There's no way Bolden's going to play in the NBA. Now, when he first came to Duke, everybody thought he was a one and done. I remember, you know, when Penn State was going to face them. Like, we all thought Bolden was one of those one and done guys. I mean, Delorier, not a one and done thought, but I mean, you know, he might play in Europe. That's it, but he's not. Yeah, look, the four guys that Duke has, the primetime guys, they'll be the NBA guys. Nobody else in that team will be. And we're always thinking about the 15 lottery picks. There are 4,500 people playing Division I college basketball. Well, of the 4,500, there are going to be a couple of hundred between overseas and the NBA that are going to be playing pro ball. Maybe 300. The other 4,200 aren't. The system is working beautifully for them, but it's never thought of in those terms. It's always thought of in the Zion Williamson. And believe me, I am in no way indicting Zion Williamson. No way. I don't know the guy. Everything I've heard about him through the grapevine has been that his teammates think the world of him, he thinks the world of them, and everybody says he's awesome to get along with. I don't know the guy. But we are now in a society where we applaud, man, Vaughn Walker got a scholarship. Charlie Schumann got a scholarship. Brandon Smith got a scholarship. Zion Williams on scholarship. Bad. Vaughn Walker, scholarship. Brandon Smith, scholarship. Charlie Schumann, scholarship. Good. Zion Williamson, scholarship. Bad. We're in a really interesting society. We have different standards for different individuals. And again, the NCAA is in an absolute bind here. College basketball and college football are in an absolute bind. They don't set the professional standards. The NBA players and Players Association and the owners set a standard, and the NFL owners and the NFL Players Association set the standards as to when you're allowed to enter. And then they put the onus on to the NCAA, and then the rest of us look around and say, well, look at all these people showing up. Shouldn't these guys be getting paid? Well, they have no choice. They either can play, let's take basketball, in Europe, China, the G League, or college. Emmanuel Mudiay, people forget him. He was going to sign, he did sign with SMU. And there was some issue with Mudiay. I can't remember what it was. I can't remember if it was an eligibility issue, if it was a was he getting paid issue or received money on the side issue or graded, so some issue. So he doesn't go to SMU. He spends a year in China. And if I recall correctly, Mudiay got drafted in the first round by the Denver Nuggets. Okay? So he got to the NBA, was a first-round pick, and he played overseas for a year. There's that kid that was going to go to Syracuse is now playing in the G League. So it's not like there aren't avenues. But let's face it, your marketability as a great athlete, a marketable athlete, Zion Williamson was not hurt going to Duke for a year to play college basketball in terms of enhancing his marketability instead of going over and playing in China or Europe for a year or the G League. Instead of playing in obscurity for a year, he played for Duke on national TV every single game. So he wasn't hurt by going to Duke, but he did get hurt last night playing. But the NCAA is put in this, but these guys should be paid. It's not NCAA rules. It is the NBA Players Association. The owners wanted 2 years in the age of 20. Don't blame them. I want a more mature league. And I think after 2 years, you can make a better decision as to whether you should be in the NBA or not, or you have a shot at it. The Players Association wanted it to be 18 and in, so the compromise was one and done. 1 year, 19 years of age. Look, NBA teams do not want to be sending scouts to high school gyms all over the country. NBA teams do not want to be sending scouts to AAU games. They don't want to do that. They don't want to waste the money on that. I don't blame them. Last night, I could send my scout down to North Carolina and Duke. I can look at Reddish. I can look at Barrett. I can look at Zion for 36 seconds. I can look at Trey Jones. I can look at Luke May. I can look at White. And I can look at Cam Johnson. I can look at seven guys in one college game where I can get a really good read with some comparable talent out there as to where I think they rank. That's why the owners want you to go to college. Okay, it's easier for them to scout. The Players Association, I mean, I understand the 18-year thing. I got that, the 18-year-old thing. You just let him go from high school. Okay, I understand that. But what does get me about that is, isn't it your job in the union to take care of your current dues-paying rank and file? Is it your job, or is it your job to promote the future rank and file that's going to take the job of your current rank and file? I thought unions were supposed to protect as many of their individuals in the union as possible, but do I have that wrong? Isn't the union supposed to protect their rank and file? And yet they're the ones pushing for the new guys to come in who, guess what? What are they going to do? They're going to replace some of the older guys who are out. It's a very difficult... Sports is so different than anything else. So different. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. Most interesting man in New England on the show today. How did we possibly book that individual? How did we do that? And why didn't he get a PAB award? I mean, Sean, he should have.
Something for next year to shoot for.
I mean, obviously anybody can get it. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Death Day to you. That's the movie he's going to review?
That is.
Kids. It doesn't really sound like let's bring the kids.
Young, wow. Young adults must be loving it. So.
I guess. All right. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. More on the shoe blowout heard around the world coming up. But first, let's bring in Scott Miller, National Major League Baseball columnist for Bleacher Report. Hello, Scott. How are you today?
Hey, real good. How about yourself?
Doing very well. Thanks for asking. Scott, you spent part of your day with the Washington Nationals today. What's the attitude in that camp? Because obviously Bryce Harper isn't anywhere right now, but he most certainly is not there.
No, he's not. But you know what? They're pretty upbeat. I think they're looking forward to the challenge of winning without Bryce. I think a couple things. One, the young outfielder Juan Soto came on like gangbusters last year. He's only 20 years old. The sky's the limit for his future. They made some nice moves. They added rotation help, Patrick Corbin. You know, they've got a catching tandem now after Matt Wieters was not brought back, Kurt Suzuki and Johnny Gomes. I think that, talking to the Nationals, they think what they've lost in Harper, they've replaced with a number of different pieces that will equal a better team.
All right, now the pieces have been put together with the Phillies, and they may or may not be done, but do you like the Philadelphia offseason?
Yeah, I do. You know, I think that was a coup, acquiring JT Realmuto, the catcher.
Yes.
I like what they've done. And who knows? I still think they're going to get Bryce Harper. Now, if they don't get Bryce, I think they've done pretty well. If they do get Bryce, then rave reviews.
You mentioned Bryce Harper. In the end, we'll find out what the number is. But for Manny Machado, it was 10 years, $300 million, opt out after five. Did the number surprise you based on how long it took to get there?
Yeah, it did. I have to say, this late in the winter, the later it went, I thought the less chance he'd get $300 million. And I thought, in particular, the fact that he got it from the San Diego Padres was shocking.
Yeah, that part got me. The part that didn't shock me is it sounded like they're the ones that kept meeting with him. But I was surprised too. It was San Diego. But it's interesting how David Price looked around and said he could opt out, and he says, I'm not going to get $31 million anywhere else. What do Machado and Harper do for maybe the mindset of J.D. Martinez, who can opt out after this year? I know Scott's driving right now. I'll try that again. What does the $300 million number that Machado got that surprised everybody, what Harper might be able to get, what does that do for players who have opt-outs in their contracts for the upcoming year, like a J.D. Martinez?
Yeah, there you are. You cut out for a minute. I think, the players are still angry about how slow it's gotten with free agency. And a lot of people think that the $300 million deal all of a sudden snaps things back to normal. A lot of people outside of baseball, but the players will be quick to tell you that's not the case. Just because one guy signed for that kind of money doesn't mean the system is back to how it was. There's still a lot of unsigned players. Craig Kimbrell, Dallas Keuchel, Gio Gonzalez, Adam Jones. The list goes on and on right now.
Exactly, and I know some players have been outspoken about it, such as Chris Bryant of the Cubs, because he's looking at what his future is going to be. But what is it taking now in an analytics-based world with a lot of, for the lack of a better term, Ivy League guys running front offices right now, that the Padres, for example, of what is an artificial $206 million cap, they just committed 14.5% of their yearly salary to one guy?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big bite for the Padres. There's no question about it. And, it's even more than that, a bigger percentage committed to three guys, Machado, Eric Hosmer, and Will Myers. But, the thing with the Padres, they've stripped down, and they've got a lot of good young talent coming. And as we know, today's game, young talent equals cheap talent. So they don't have much payroll commitment beyond the next couple years. So that's what allowed them to add Machado and Hosmer last year.
How concerning is it, though, for the players in the end that because of the analytics-based world, that the movement is toward younger talent, because players 33 and older have dropped by 26% under this current model?
Yeah, I mean, that's one reason the players are angry. That, yes, they've noticed that, and you're exactly right. That's what the analytics model has brought. It's brought younger talent into the game, and it's poses problems for players who are in their early 30s. And the problem with that is guys this way the systems worked for years, the players understood that when they first broke into the majors and were young, the club had the hammer and they were going to be probably underpaid. But the catch always has been they're going to make it up when they become free agents. Well, now, if they don't make it up when they're free agents, you know, if they're underpaid when they're in their 0 to 6 free agent, or not free agent, but 0 to 6 service time years, if they're underpaid, then they become a free agent, and the clubs are saying, hey, you're too old now. Then they never get what they feel their value is, and that's where they're going to clash with the owners.
Exactly. Now that brings us to Aaron Nola. So in order to get away from arbitration, they put together this deal, which obviously was good enough for him. He signed it, and it's obviously good enough for the Phillies. You look at Trevor Bauer with Cleveland. Is that an example of why players really are skittish now about going to arbitration?
Yeah, no question. And Bauer said he wants to sign one-year deals. I mean, the players are looking at guys like Nola, and they don't want to get scared or bullied into signing deals when they're young that are completely club friendly. And, you know, that's what some of these young contracts are viewed as.
All right, now let's get to at least the fun part. Okay, money can be fun in some ways, but let's get to the fun part. You're traveling around now trying to take a look at different teams. We mentioned the Nationals earlier. Who intrigues you on the current swing that you're making that you can't wait to get to their camp and kind of get a read on them?
Well, like we talked about today, the Nationals were very interesting, without Bryce Harper. I'm going to see the Mets tomorrow. I'm going up north toward Port St. Lucie. They've made some interesting moves. Yeah, I mean, the Phillies I saw last week, and it was interesting to get their pulse, when last week the word was still, hey, they may get Machado or Harper. Now, since I've seen them, Machado's off the board. But the bottom line is the National League East probably as a group outside of the Miami Marlins made the most moves to improve this year. And I think each of those teams is pretty interesting. I think it's going to be a very competitive division.
In the American League East, the Red Sox won 108 games. They ended up winning 119 when it was all said and done. And then there are the Yankees. There aren't many teams that win 100 games and feel like they're really chasing somebody, yet they are. Did they do enough, in your opinion, to maybe flip the script there?
I'm sorry, the Yankees?
Yes, the Yankees.
Yeah. I still like Boston's pitching. I mean, I think the Yankees, it'll be interesting to see if Tulowitzki has anything left. We'll see about that. But I think the Yankees' bullpen is their best asset. That's what makes it interesting with them and Boston. The Red Sox rotation, I'll take in a heartbeat. Chris Sale, yeah. David Price. Those guys. But the Yankees bullpen is really, really interesting. They added Adam Ottavino. It's not a big name, but I think they've got Zach Britton, they've got Aroldis Chapman, they've got so many interesting pieces that the Yankees could overtake the Red Sox. But you know what? The Red Sox are defending champions. The path through the American League East still has to go through them.
Adam Ottavino started his career here in State College, as a matter of fact. So, yeah, I did his first start. Yep, exactly.
Did you really? No kidding.
Yeah. I mean, I not only do Penn State football and Penn State basketball, but I do the State College Spikes, the Cardinals affiliate. And that was his first starts were here. So, it's cool.
Yeah.
John Henry made the statement about money, and he was not incorrect. I mean, the Red Sox do have the highest payroll in baseball, and they also have the hardware to do it. is it? Can anyone draw any conclusion from the fact that the Red Sox had the highest payroll and success, or is it possible to do a Kansas City Royals thing on a year-by-year basis?
You know, it's possible. I mean, look, I think you can't draw any definitive conclusions. I mean, baseball until last year, you know, the past few years, it's not like the highest payroll team won. I mean, a couple of years ago, the Cubs won. They had a high payroll, but they weren't the highest. So, you know, the high payroll teams, what that gives you, obviously, is a big advantage. I mean, the Red Sox, you know, they can sign a Pablo Sandoval to a giant, you know, $80 million free agent contract.
Yep.
And then it doesn't work out. They can just kiss it off. Hanley Ramirez as well. They can just write off that money.
Right.
You know, now we're talking back to where we started, the San Diego Padres. If Manny Machado doesn't work out, a team like the Padres can't just kiss that off and regroup.
Right.
So, you know, the Red Sox, there's no question money gives you a leg up. But it doesn't guarantee anything. We've seen that over and over the past few years.
Let me ask you one final question. It's actually about you. You're down there. You're doing spring training right now. We've talked a lot about money. We've talked a little bit about teams. What drives you? What are the stories you like to write? What do you like to cover?
You know, I'm. That's a good question. I don't get asked that much. I am more of a people person than a numbers person. Obviously, in baseball, you've got to – stats are important. But the analytic drive into the game right now, I always say, you know what? If I wanted to just sit around plowing through numbers, I would have paid more attention in math class back in high school. You know? I mean, to me, it's all about the people and the characters of the game. Now, I did a story that's up on Bleacher Report. Now, just was posted yesterday. You know, I visited with D. Gordon over the winter, and he, you know, baseball, as a lot of other entities are, in modern life, they're grappling with a way to figure out domestic violence. And and that's a huge, obviously important topic, one that we need to shine some light on and hopefully help some people who feel like they're trapped. D. Gordon was affected by that. His mother was killed by her boyfriend, not his father, but her boyfriend, when he was 7 years old, and that's left a huge mark on his life. And I, right about a week before spring training, I visited with him. He was really good opening up about how, you know, the tragedy and how it's affected his life. You know, not that I enjoy doing bleak stories involving domestic violence, but I like the people aspect, and what drives me is still the storytelling and to tell stories, whether it's one like I just mentioned that I hope can help shine a light on an important topic and use baseball as a vehicle to, you know, start a broader conversation and maybe hopefully help some people. That drives me. Also the goofy baseball stories that, you know, with the colorful characters. It's the game and the people.
Perfect answer. You feel the same way we do. I mean, look, in what I do, we use whatever I'm doing, football, basketball, baseball. Yeah, I use analytics as a tool, but it's the people that drive you. I mean, I'm the same way as you are. Scott, thanks so much. Appreciate it. I know you've been driving around talking to us, and you gave us great information. It was a lot of fun talking to you. Thanks so much for it.
Likewise, I hope the background noise wasn't too bad.
It's perfectly fine. No, I just felt like we were just sitting in the car together driving along.
Excellent. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Scott Miller, National and Major League Baseball columnist for Bleacher Report. We will come back with more in a moment. Mark Brennan, Fight On State, next half hour as we continue. Don't forget, next week, Dave Cicchini, new head football coach at Bucknell, and Johnny Holiday, my compadre, the play-by-play voice on Maryland football and basketball on the show next Tuesday as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Well, it's great to have Scott Miller on the show. He gave us some great information. It was a lot of fun just sitting there just talking some baseball with him. Mark Brennan, next half hour, join us here in the Sunbury Motors studio. Finally get him to walk down the hill one street up to join us. Oh, my goodness. And then the most interesting man in New England. Tomorrow we'll have the Phillies opener. Cole Irvin is going to pitch tomorrow. And it's going to be an interesting start because I think it becomes an interesting start because, look, they're looking at him as a possibility of a guy that can, through the organization, help. So let's go from there and see what. Whether he puts himself on the path to helping. I think it's interesting to give him the ball first because I think they want to find out right away. And that'll be tomorrow. So we'll have no show tomorrow. Well, stop the applause out there. Come on. I'm telling you right now, in all of his sales calls, the suit is sabotaging this show. You know that.
One hand tied behind her back, Steve.
Every day.
But no, talking about the Phillies, this has been a true test of Phillies fans' patience. And, they finally get the Harper deal done. If that finally happens, then they can turn to some pitching. Maybe, they may not be done after signing Harper if they turn toward either,
Craig Kimbrell.
Yeah, Kimbrell.
Dallas Keuchel.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's see what because they have the money to spend. Let's see what they do with it. We got a lot to talk about. The Zion Williamson situation last night again resurrects the argument about paying athletes. And all the benefits go to the school, they go to the coach, they go to whatever. Somebody brought up an interesting point, and I realized, look, these players are all thrilled to get whatever gear they can get, almost all of them. But let me give you an example. What if Zion Williamson didn't like wearing Nikes? I'm just throwing that out there. So I'll give you a better example. Back in the 80s, you did not have the universal apparel contracts that you have now. All coaches were able to do their own individual deal. Joe Paterno had a deal with Nike, Bruce Parkhill had a deal with New Balance, and Rainey Portland had a deal with Adidas. Her players did not like at all the shoes that they got, and they literally took out the padding in the insole and put in the padding that was comfortable to them, but still kept the shell of Adidas. There's so many questions that go today. Money is really doing great things for sports, and money is also hurting sports.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.